For freelance writer Daniel Britt, his story in Playboy magazine, which hits newsstands today, originates in Buffalo and stretches all the way to the Rohingya refugee camps of Bangladesh. First, he encountered a family of four Rohingya refugees who have taken up residence in Buffalo. However, one son, Hussein, decided to remain behind with family members in Myanmar. Those family members have since been killed, leaving Hussein to flee and live among the 700,000 refugees in the Bangladesh encampment. Upon his visits to the camp and to Myanmar, Daniel Britt uncovered what he saw as an encouraging new wave trend.
The story that comes out today, it's a punk rock story.
Punk rock story in Myanmar.
Yeah. Yeah, who'd have thought, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what is punk rock like in Myanmar?
It's awesome. It's really cool. The music is amazing. These guys, they look more punkish than Sid Vicious in the 80s. Mohawks are phenomenal. The theater of it, the sound of it, they represent in Myanmar. Myanmar's a very traditional Buddhist country, right? And these guys represent the segment of the population, these young people that are influenced by the internet, influenced by international music, international news. So it's really easy to get caught, if you've grown up in Myanmar, to get caught in the state propaganda machine. And many people, they just have a lot of trust in the government. They buy into the narrative that the Rohingya are fast breeders. They could displace the Burmese population and the Buddhist population in Myanmar, you know, in the next few generations. So that's a fear. They also buy into the state narrative that the Rohingya are setting their own houses on fire, murdering their own people to get sympathy from the Western media. I mean, as ridiculous as that sounds, if you go into a cafe in Yangon and you're a foreigner, the first thing that will happen to you is you'll be hushed for saying the words Rakhine, saying the words Rohingya.
And when you say hushed, you're being hushed by just patrons?
Just random people. They'll be like, you have no right to talk about this as a foreigner.
Okay.
You know, you don't know what it's like to live here.
How are those interactions?
Pretty awkward.
We've gone off on tangents on this story.
It's a sprawling one. It's got a lot of...
Yes. Yeah. Sprawling is a great way of describing it. Yeah. How about just for you, though, as the freelancer, as the reporter here, lessons learned?
The dire importance of free speech to a society that wants to advance technologically and socially. It's just necessary. These crackdowns on journalists in Myanmar, you know, the two guys that uncovered them, Hua Lone and Cha So-woo, they're facing 7-year prison sentences for uncovering a mass grave of Rohingya and reporting on it for Reuters. That stuff is ridiculous. The way to quell the irrational fears that fuel these massive political and military policy shifts is with dialogue. And whether that dialogue is on a stage in a bar, it's necessary.
When you consider these kids, the punk rockers.
And they are.
All right?
Yeah.
They're punk rockers. You consider them, and then you reflect back to the conditions you've seen in these refugee camps for these Rohingya. Does it give you a sense of hope for them?
I believe right now in Myanmar, the punk rockers are the Rohingya's only hope. They are out performing, writing songs. They are pushing anti-military government stance online in short films. They are growing in number.
What about the threat, though, from the government? It's a heavy-handed government, and most certainly has been accused of being that.
It is. And these punk rockers really are anti-government, anti-establishment. I mean, there's a lot to risk. There have been journalists, bombs planted outside their homes. I mentioned a guy that was in my story that was reporting on illegal logging in Myanmar. He was beaten to death. There's a lot of risk involved with the Burmese punk brand of anarchy.
Daniel Britt, I appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you, Jay.